Hello once more. This is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley, and we're looking at the Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Briefly, I covered that in our last program. We come to this program, and I want to share with you not the possession. The Lord is my shepherd, that's the possessional part, but the position. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Tremendously important to understand these waters of quietness are very, very safe. Let me share with you some of the thinking here, I believe, that is here. We have to be in a position. Now, God sometimes has to make us lie down in green pastures. He brings us to the place where the pastures are a tender grasses. It's something to take cows. I was helping to drive some cows, and we were going through the Wallowa Mountains, and obviously the cows and calves were pretty distressed about what was going on. And the owner said, when we get up to such a place, there's a green pasture. I want you to settle these animals down, that the mothers and calves are reunited. We'll give them a couple of hours eating and just getting reacquainted. So we got the cows in this little pasture. The mamas called the little ones called the mamas, and they all got together and they settled down and they started grazing together, and it was a peaceful place. But the grass was just so lush, even our horses were threatening to founder on such gorgeous grass. Of course, the horses never give up an opportunity to eat when they should be doing something else. It was very interesting to me to observe how it was that God made them to lie down in green pastures. Here we were, up in the mountains, the Wallowa Wilderness, taking these cattle through the mountains to Cornucopia. As we went through, we would stop, and the owner was very careful to make sure we stopped every so often so that everybody could regather, rethink, and have some pasture all to themselves. It was a terrific drive, one of the best drives I've ever been on, and it was a great excitement to me. This is way back in the 70s, but it's still resting in my mind and heart. When you get into this position, God makes you to lie down. So many of us are so busy. So many of us are so involved in this and that and the other. In some ways, I am busier now that I've retired than I've ever been. It's the most curious thing. But then I'm older now and I get tired quicker, so perhaps I'm a little more aware of my own tiredness and ancientness than I used to be when I was younger. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 34, because here we have a beautiful description of the Lord making us to lie down. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. Out of all his troubles, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. No want, no want. In the first verse of this Psalm 23, I shall not want. There is no want to the Christian abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. No want. Oh, sure, it's easy to say that we are impractical, but I think not if we trust the Lord. But will you notice, I will bless the Lord. That's in verse 1 of Psalm 34. And then he says, I sought the Lord in verse 4, and he delivered me from all my fears. Then he calls himself, this poor man cried. The Lord helped him and saved him out of all his troubles. Then he talks of the deliverance that comes to him, how the angel of the Lord camps round about him. And then he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Fear the Lord, ye his saints. Are you a Christian? Dare you say yes to me? Then this is your position. And the position is that when you're walking in the Lord, in the light of his word, what a joy he sheds on your way. To do his good will and abide in him still. Oh, what a glory this is. I just bring this to you because I know that you need to be comforted. Comfort is a thing that comes to us when we are trusting the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. This is the green, luscious pasture. This is the quiet, gentle water. It's an interesting place to be. You see, sheep, as a whole, are a foolish lot of animals. And they follow each other. They follow the leader, and they lead them with blindness sometimes, and they lead them into all sorts of cavities and tragedies with no way out, no comfort. I will bless the Lord. Ah, at all times, I will bless the Lord. Can you say that carefully? Is that your position in Jesus Christ today? He maketh me to lie down in these luscious pastures. The experiences of my life are the pastures of my life. And he leadeth me into the green pastures, the luscious eating places, the places where fellowship takes place, the places where I learn that trusting him for 1 minute is better than trusting Satan for all time. I would lead you to think for a moment or two in this area of lying down in green pastures. Notice the word maketh me. It is natural for man to push ahead, especially if he's successful. If he finds that he can make money doing this or that or the other, he will tend to continue to do it, only with more robust thinking and shoving and pushing. He will work to the end that he will get more and therefore be more prosperous. The green pastures speak of a type of prosperity. And so we tend to push in that direction. Be still for a moment. Let God make you go into this pasture. I heard of a young lady recently whose relationship with a boy, a young fellow about her own age, was just an ordinary relationship. Suddenly, she was concerned and he was concerned at the very same time, apparently, that they needed to learn more about the Lord Jesus than they needed to learn about one another. So they decided to break up their relationship, of a couple of years' duration, by the way. She was only 16 when this relationship started, and he was about the same age. Now they've gone on, and a month or two later, they decided, well, it's okay, we'll get back together again. So their green pasture was of just 2 months. But maybe your green pasture is a lifetime. Maybe your green pasture is different to theirs. Be sure of this. Don't go back into the old ways. Stay in that green pasture for as long as you possibly can, that you may eat of the luscious provision that God has given you. Job found himself in a terrifying place. His children were all murdered, all of them. His wife even said, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And she was quite livid with him. "You know, it's time to get out of here. Why don't you shove off? Make me a widow. I'd rather be a widow than put up with all the things that are going on." His cows were taken from him. His herds were taken from him. Why, even his house was burned down. He lost everything. And people came by, and they still do to this very day, and they said, "God is punishing you for sin that you've not made obvious to the rest of us." Now, mankind has a distorted vision of God. God, we think, is the great justice keeper. He's going to punish us for all the things we did not do, all the things we did not say, all the places we did not go, and so on. He's going to punish us. He punishes us because, we say. And then we have a litany of reasons that we have concluded. Let's stop for a moment. Think about that. You see, it's important to understand that God is love. And because he is love, and you have received him, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that love God. You are not condemned by God. The condemnation has been placed upon Calvary's brow, and Jesus carried the sins of us all upon his shoulders, that we might be made to lie down and enjoy what Jesus achieved. "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you," said Jesus. "My peace I give unto you." Get the word, give. I give you peace. Why then do we take on turmoil? Why does the Christian need the counselor other than Jesus, who is the counselor? Why is it that we're dissatisfied with the pastures that we're in and therefore need counseling on so many issues when God has said that Jesus, his son, will solve those issues? We who love Jesus look for the sovereignty of God to lead us into the presence of the sovereign God for eternity. Are you not satisfied with his definition? You see, our position is that he maketh us to lie down. If you won't get to your knees, God will bring you to your knees. There will be some calamity or some dreadful thing happen, and you will say, "Oh, God is judging me." No, God is taking you through an experience as he did Job. Job came to the place where he said, "God is righteous. God is good. God is love. Therefore, I will trust him." And when I get through this experience, when I get out the other side of what's going on, the green pastures will have made me fatter in the knowledge and the grace and the power and the presence of the Almighty God. With that in mind, let me say to you, it is tremendously important for us to be in the right position. "He leadeth me beside the still waters," or in the quiet waters. The picture here, sheep can't swim in rushing water. It was a long time ago now, about 1951, and I was in the army and I was stationed in a funny little place in Wales, which is a wonderful place, mountains and so on. And I met up with a fellow whose name was Bob Griffith. He spoke fairly good English. His wife spoke very little English, mostly Welsh. They had two girls, and the two girls spoke good English and good Welsh. I became very acquainted with this family, and I was thrilled to bits to fellowship with them and learn from them. I found that this man, who was nothing more than a shepherd, who used a scythe to cut grass that could only grow in that area, about 6 inches, maybe 8 inches in a good summer in height. And he cut that with a scythe, and he cut it close to the ground, and he cut it carefully. And then he bound it up into bundles and fed his sheep all winter. And the winters up there can be fierce, even though it's not very many feet above sea level as we would count it in this country. Wales collects the weather from the north of the North Sea, the north of the Atlantic, and it collects a lot of bad weather coming up from the south through the Bay of Biscay. You must remember that England and Wales are a part of an island, and so the weather can be absolutely dreadful, even though you're not too much off sea level. And one day, there was great consternation at the farm. And I went up there. They had no electricity. They had no indoor toilets. Theirs were outside. It was a very primitive way to live. They cooked with a little fire that was made of iron, and I called it the twig fire because they used to keep it burning with twigs. They kept things very simply. The bread was always delicious. The meat was always fabulous. The cooking was terrific. The lighting, though, was terrifying because you couldn't see very much in the winter, and they would only light the lanterns for so long so that they could conserve the oil that kept the lights going. I want to say this to you very carefully. The consternation at the farm was that two of their little sheep had drowned. The weather had turned sour. Puddles and pools were made almost like oceans to these animals. And for some reason, these two little ones got into a large pond, I suppose you would say, and they drowned. Sheep have wool. Lanolin is in the wool. Sometimes the wool will absorb a tremendous amount of water, and it becomes so laden that the sheep can't swim out. This had happened. They had drowned. Now here we find there are no whirling pools. He leadeth his sheep beside the still waters, beside the quiet water. No rushing, no tearing, no bubbling, no gurgling, no dramatics. He leadeth them beside the still waters. If there is some drama going on in your family or life, let me say to you, the Lord Jesus will lead you into still waters so that you can think straight, so that you can act correctly, so that you can be truthful and kind. The Bible says you're not to be rewarding evil for evil. You remember when you're a child, how it was that a brother or sister or friend attacked you, and when caught attacking you, they said he or she started it. It was their fault, not mine. I was responding to their unkindness, and you'd done nothing. Do you remember those days? They're horrible little days. He did it first. She did it first. And so it went on. There's a funny story in our family. I caught my daughter with her tongue pointed out at somebody, and I scolded her. I said, "You can't do that. That's very rude." And I made her sit in front of the mirror for 5 minutes with her tongue between her teeth. And I said, "Look how foolish you look, and you look at that mirror." I sat with her for most of that time. At the end of 5 minutes, it didn't cure her, perhaps, but it made her realize it was not a right thing to do. You don't poke your tongue out at people. We do that sort of thing because the waters are not still. Our heart is not quiet. We're not prepared to accept what's come our way. We're not prepared to deal with it. We're prepared to deal evil for evil. One man said to me once, "You have to understand, you've got to fight fire with fire." I totally disagree. I totally disagree. Satan may shower down his maelstrom of wickedness I don't have to fight him. Jesus has already fought him. He's beaten. He can't harm me. Sure, people might listen to him. People might say, aha, we know something about you that you didn't want us to know, and all that sort of nonsense. But you can't harm me. In terms of eternity, no harm is done to me. And the reason? My sins he remembers no more. He has dealt with my sins forever. And we have to understand that our sins are washed away, not moved to a different box to be pulled out when it's convenient to somebody to remind us of our sin. So we have this position which is fantastic. We lie down in the green pastures, and he leadeth us beside the still waters. He will never endanger your soul. He will never take you to the place where your soul is so overwhelmed that you want to blow your brains out, that you want to go to the edge of the world and say, stop, world, I'm jumping off. It won't happen. And the reason it won't happen is because your position in Jesus Christ, God has made it possible that you should have a new life. And he has made it possible that that new life shall not be destroyed by Satan, nor sin, nor the lusts of the flesh, nor the things of the world. You see, the only condemnation that can come to you is of your own manufacture. Or if you're listening to the manufacture of condemnation from other people, people won't like you. People won't believe you. People will tell stories about you. They will gossip about you. They will say all manner of evil against you. People do that who are not right with God, but you have a position and you are right with God. Your sins are known by him and they have been dealt with and they are remembered no more. He casts them into the depth of the sea. He casts them behind his back, as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. The Lord Jesus has this wonderful effect upon a life. We have a new position in life. Are you enjoying your new position? Do you sit down quietly and remember Jesus? It seems that parents should die before children. But sometimes in a person's life, children die first. I was first introduced to this when a dear friend of mine, who loved the Lord Jesus very much, died of cancer. She was 31, and her mother was in her 70s. And this young woman died. Her mother was absolutely heartbroken. Her husband had died first, and now this child. And I remember going to the house to say hello and how are you. And I went in and we had tea together. The mother and I sat and we were very quiet. I had nothing to say, which may sound foolish to you because I'm always talking. But I had nothing to say and I just sat there listening to the silence of the room. And quietly the lady said to me, I want to thank you for this time of silence. It is a beautiful time. And then she carried on with words similar to these. She said words in effect, I want you to know that the quietness we share with Jesus is louder than all the screaming of hell. We go through a sense of hell, she said, to discover it's a vast sound. But it has no melody. Interesting, very interesting. When I left that house after prayer, it was a great rejoicing in my heart. We had spent maybe 2 or 3 hours quietly in the presence of the Lord. We had drunk our tea. We had fellowshipped in the Word. I had shared some of the Word of God with her. And we had remembered her dear daughter, who was very meaningful to both of us, much more to her than to me, but I enjoyed the young woman's presence. Later, my wife did too, and we just enjoyed one another. Ah, what a joy to be in the position of green pastures and quiet, still waters. Do you sit beside such a place? Do you live in such a quality? Do you rejoice in Jesus? Do you bless the Lord with all at all times, and praise is continually upon your mouth? Is that how you praise God? Is that how you love, recognize, and worship Him? Well, there's some thoughts for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that we may know our possession. Jesus is our Savior. And we may know our position. We are in the green pastures and beside the quiet waters. Our experiences scream at us and tell us we have had a dreadful life. Yet we've had a wonderful life because you're always the same. Today, yesterday, and tomorrow, with you there's no shadow of turning. Bless us now, that we may bless the name of our Lord Jesus for the rest of our lives, please. Lord, bless those that hear this. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Bye-bye.